And would you take your Bibles tonight and open them to the book of Ephesians? We've been there for a few weeks now. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 16 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith, of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Father, I come to you today, Lord, and again, I just thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Father, I know that there's many times that we fall short. We get our eyes on other things, including ourselves, and we miss what it is you might be wanting to say. But, Lord, just that song said a while ago, we just bring ourselves to the altar today and pour ourselves out before you and ask you, Lord, that you'll speak to us. We want to be in your presence. We want to hear from you. I know, Lord, that you have something to say. I just pray your Holy Spirit will be empowered and that, Lord, you'll speak. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's in the process of writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's encouraging them in multiple different ways. And I think it'd be better if I turned to the book of Ephesians, because I just read out of Romans. I don't know why I did that. I'm getting old. I'm having those weird deals. Okay, this might probably make more sense to what I have here on the page anyway. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Let me read that. I made a mistake by leaving my bookmark where I'm going to be Sunday in Romans, and that's what happened. Sorry. But I'm not perfect. Okay, here we go. And this makes a lot more sense. I don't know why I wasn't reading the right one. Then we will no longer be infants that are tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will with all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together with every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we're going to be looking at tonight in this passage as Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus and encouraging them to grow into maturity. Now, I think a lot of times we think of the word maturity and we think of somebody that's just old, right? They're a mature person or whatever. No, maturity has nothing to do with age. I've known a lot of old people that were not very mature, and I've known some younger people that were very mature. Usually it's the older people, but it's just because the longer you live, the more you realize you don't know. But Paul says, we were made in the body of Christ for maturity, to grow up. And he talks about the purpose of maturity and what it's all about. In verse 15, he makes this statement. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Have you ever heard anybody say something to somebody else, grow up? Now, what are they talking about? Get taller? No. They're not talking about that. They're talking about grow up inside. Quit acting like a kid when you're an adult or whatever. We need to grow up. I think a lot of times we just act like us instead of like Him. Christ is the standard. In fact, it says it comes from Him. The Greek word here is solo Christo, which means it comes from Him alone. You can't get it from anybody else. You can't grow up on your own. You can't grow up because you think you know things. You can only grow up through Him, and it comes from Him. Everything about our spiritual walk must be based on faith in Him alone. It's not in the law. And Paul's trying to remind them it's not in the law. It's not in doing things. It's not attending. It's not any of that stuff. What it is spending time in the presence of the Lord. So everything about our spiritual walk must be based on the faith in Him alone. We can't lean on anything else except Him. You see, if you lean on anything else, it's going to move. It's going to shift. It's going to change. Have you ever leaned against something that wasn't very steady? And you find out that what you thought you were going to lean on is kind of not there anymore because you leaned a little too hard on it. So we can lean completely upon Jesus Christ. We can't lean on anything else. When all that we are and all that we believe is based on Christ alone, then two things are going to happen. We will no longer be infants, the Scripture says. In verse 14, He says we'll start to grow up. You see, when you lean on Jesus, when you set everything to Him, everything in your mind, everything in your heart, everything in your to-do list, everything in your will, everything about what you had to do, if it's set according to Jesus, if you've got a gauge, your spiritual gauge, your Holy Spirit that's inside of you, and you look at it, and you ask yourself the question, is this really set towards Jesus or is this really set towards me? And if it's set towards me, I need to not do it. I need to, by faith, follow what it is that He has for me. When we do that, when our belief is based on Christ alone, we will no longer be infants. In other words, Paul says, you'll start to grow up. Now, infants are awesome, aren't they? But you don't want a kid to be an infant forever. You want them to grow up. I remember, and I may have mentioned this before, but in the town where I was growing up, a little town in north central Texas called Knox City, K-N-O-X, Knox City, every once in a while I get to go to town with my granddad, and when we went to town, we'd always go by the post office. Now, I don't know why we'd go by the post office, because we got our mail out on the rural route. But I guess, you know, you had to buy stamps or whatever else. But when we go in the post office almost every time, we would see this woman and then this young man who was in a wheelchair. Now, I didn't understand it at the time. I was probably 7 years old. He had cerebral palsy, and he was in pretty bad shape as far as physically. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get out of his chair. He had a lot of different physical issues. But one of the ways that it affected him is he never really grew up inside either. He never mentally never grew up. And so, you know, it kind of bothered me when I was young because I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what was going on. Well, anyway, the bottom line is I asked my granddad one time what was wrong. I mean, you know, and he told me, well, he has cerebral palsy, a really bad case. And I said, oh, okay. I said, and he was very small in stature. You know, he was very, didn't weigh much or whatever. So I was guessing he was probably 11 or 12 years old. And I asked my granddad how old he was, and he says, I think he's about 30 now. And I couldn't grasp that. My mind couldn't grasp it. Because when you're 30 years old, you're not supposed to still look like you're 11 years old. In the same way, God doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to grow in Him. You see, you're either growing or you're dying. You're either getting closer to God or you're falling farther away from Him. He says, we're no longer going to be infants. And then he goes on to say, we will not be tossed back and forth by the waves and the wind of every teaching. It's interesting. There's a lot of different teaching going on the internet, on TV, wherever else. And I've heard, you know, I've heard people who I thought had been walking with God their whole life, basically, ask me questions about this particular teaching of a particular person, and it's just basically heresy. And I'm going like, That doesn't match up with what Scripture says at all. Yeah, but this person's they're very popular, and they have huge, a lot of people watching them on TV and giving money all the time, and so they must know something. And I said, yeah, they know how to raise money, and they know how to influence people. But listen, folks, all that really doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus said, what Scripture says. If the Scripture doesn't say it, then we can't, we can't come up with our own philosophies and ideas and thoughts and think, well, maybe this is what he means. No, he says what he means. These kind of people are tossed back and forth by waves in the wind of every teaching. And I've seen people literally give almost their life savings to a ministry on TV that folds 3 years later because the person that's preaching doesn't even walk with God. And that's a sad statement. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many of you lack wisdom? I do. I could always use more. If any of you lacks wisdom, you need to watch a certain program on TV, right? No. You should ask God. Why? Because he gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that's true enough to put it into practice? But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Here's the reason. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. See, Paul is trying to tell the church at Ephesus, listen, folks, it's in faith, it's in your faith in Christ alone, solo Christo. It has nothing to do with anything else that anybody else says. It has everything to do with what God's Word says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says it like this, brothers and sisters, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, merely infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Now, that's a pretty harsh statement from Paul coming to a church. But let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather God speak to you directly and you get things ironed out with him? Rather than find out later that you had no clue what you were supposed to be doing and you weren't even walking close to him. God wants us to grow up spiritually. He wants us to be whole, not part-time Christian, not here and there Christian, not every once in a while Christian. He wants us to be whole, completely given over to him. And that's what the Scripture calls becoming mature, which is attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what it says here. What is the measuring stick? Christ himself. Now, we will never get there in this life, but we ought to be striving for it. We ought to be pressing forward. We ought to be asking God to give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and the ability to be able to do what he's calling us to do by his Holy Spirit's empowerment. So that's why Paul is asking a question. And it's kind of like the question people used to ask a few years ago when it was a big thing. What would Jesus do? And you remember everybody started wearing the WWJD bracelets and everybody thought, well, after a while, it's kind of corny. We don't have to wear those anymore. And it's gone. But it's still just as important in our everyday life to ask ourselves that question all the time. What would Jesus do? Because whatever Jesus would do is what I should be doing. Because I'm not even mine anymore. I've been bought with a price, the Scripture says. What would Jesus do? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So Paul says the purpose is to grow up in Christ. Then he says, The more we know the Word, the more we know Jesus. You see, it's all based on the source. The source is God's Word. The more time you and I spend in God's Word, the more we will grow closer to the likeness of Christ. I'm not just saying that you have to read 16 chapters a day. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not spending time in the Word. What it is spending time reading the Word. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying we need to spend time in the Word. You know how you get in the Word? You enter it in prayer. You ask God to speak to you through the words that are on the page, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit as you begin to read. If you've got a question about something you come across, look at some commentators. Ask somebody else. Give somebody a call. Pray and ask God to bring enlightenment to the Scripture. I mean, if you want to grow and mature in Christ, these are steps that we need to take. John chapter 1. This is a lengthy section, but it's really good. Knowing the Word of God means you know Jesus. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that's been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' And out of his fullness we have all received grace in the place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who he himself God, is God, and the closest relationship with the Father has made him known." You see, Paul's saying, listen, the closer we become to Jesus Christ, the more we are getting in line, maturing, growing up in Jesus. The Scripture says in this passage, he has been made known. And what that means literally is he's been made understandable. You can understand Jesus. When Jesus speaks, you can understand what he's saying. The Holy Spirit allows you to understand it. And as we begin to allow the Word to be applied to every area of our lives, we begin to experience then what I believe the Scripture talks about in multiple places, the fullness of Christ. We are just like a glass. You can either fill it up with water, or you can fill it up with air, or you can fill it up with milk or tea or whatever else you want to fill it up with. But when you fill it up and it's full to the brim, that's when you can take a look at it and go, man, this is something good. Especially when you're really thirsty, right? God is saying, I want to fill you up. No room left there for anything else. Just me. God wants to fill us up completely. We begin to let Him by His Holy Spirit saturate our lives until we are soaked in Him. Galatians 2:20, I've mentioned this verse multiple times in the last few weeks, but this is exactly what Paul means when he's talking about this. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me anymore that's alive. It's no longer I no longer live. It's Christ that lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. God doesn't want a better you. He wants to be in you. See, he doesn't want to come alongside of you and say, okay, I'm going to start tweaking you and making you look a little better and sound a little better and act a little better and all those rough edges need to be chipped off and all that kind of stuff. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want to look at you and say, I want to make you look better. He wants to indwell you by his Holy Spirit and change you from the inside out. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles this glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody might ask you, where is Jesus? And they might be saying, is he back in heaven? Yes. Is he here on this earth? Yes. He's living inside of me right now. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Written to a church, by the way, remember this. He's knocking on the door. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what will happen? I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In other words, even though we know who Jesus Christ is, and many religious people do, until you invite him in, he has no part with you. Once you do invite him in, don't let him leave. Don't push him out. Don't overwhelm him by all the stuff you want to do. So Paul then gets into the last two verses talking about the process of maturing. And here are some characteristics of growth and maturity. Growth is gradual. It doesn't happen overnight. Just doesn't. Didn't happen physically overnight. Doesn't happen spiritually overnight. It's gradual. When we reach maturity and become, he's using these words in this passage, we will grow to become. Every supporting ligament grows and builds. See, all these different phrases he's using here. We reach maturity. We become. We will grow to become. Every supporting ligament grows and builds. Is a reminder to us it's gradual. But the picture here is growth. Are we growing in Christ? Are we maturing in Him? And by the way, it doesn't happen overnight either. Everybody's got to crawl before they walk. We all do. But let's don't just stay crawling. And let's don't regress back into the crib. We need to keep heading towards the one who's giving us everything. Growth is gradual. In verse 14, it talks about growth brings stability. Look at that again in verse 14. We will no longer be infants that are tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. You know what? It just reminds me that anyone who comes along and begins to teach something that is not of Scripture, it ought to immediately send off an alarm in your mind and heart. And that person should be addressed, confronted with it. We need to become stable, not tossed back and forth. Well, how do we change our minds? Why is it so hard to make a decision sometimes? Sometimes we think, well, we know what we ought to do, but then we start thinking, we overthink it, and we think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that or should do that. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. I guarantee you, confusion doesn't come from the Lord. If you ask Him, He will tell you. He's not a God that's sitting there going like, oh, I'm going to let them just flounder for a while and see if they can figure it out on their own. No. In fact, the more mature you are, the quicker you're going to go to God.
the sooner you're going to check in with Him and say, Lord, is this right? Is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? Is this where you're leading me right now? Maturity or fullness of Christ means that we will not easily be deceived because we are living actively with the one who has defeated the deceiver. And I can tell you what, folks, one of the fruits of the Spirit is being able to understand and know if something's coming from God or not. Therefore, our foundation becomes more stable. The more mature we grow in Christ, the more we get grounded on our solid rock, the more we stand on Him, the more stable we become. And it won't be easy then for all the different deceiving things that come along to deceive us, because we'll see it as what it is. I think the longer you live trying to understand and grow closer to Christ, the more apparent it is when temptation comes, when something comes along to try to knock you off of your steps, whatever it is, you'll begin to have the ability of discernment to say, this is not of God. It's not. Might sound good. There's a lot of things that sound good that are not good. You'll begin to discern if this is coming from God Himself. How? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. All you got to do is ask, is this from you, God? He's not going to go, nah, I'm not going to tell you. Of course He's going to tell you. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and, you see that word and in there? There's a lot of people who hear the words of God and puts them into practice. He's like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow, beat against the house, yet it doesn't fall because it has a firm foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow and beat against the house, and it falls with a great crash. So when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching because He taught as one who had authority, was speaking as though it was God Himself. Well, it was. And not as their teachers of the law. You see, folks, we need to, I appreciate, honestly, the opportunity every week of being able to bring God's Word and teach it as God gives it to me. But listen, I am not God. And I should never have somebody basing things on me. It's not about me at all. It's about what God's Word says. I hear people saying, well, I don't want to go to that church, I do want to go to that church, or I don't want to go to that church because I don't like the pastor, or I don't like what's happening, or what. You know what? It's all about God. And I guarantee you, if we are not looking into God's Word on a regular basis, asking God to speak to us, asking God to grow us up, helping us to understand Him more and more and more every single day. If we're not doing that, then I guarantee you'll be like the waves that are pushed back and forth by the winds of doctrine. And somebody will come along and they'll mention this certain thing, and somebody will say, hey, that sounds right. And then somebody else will go, yeah, that does sound right. I think that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan says, hey, did he really say, if you eat of that tree, you'll die? You won't surely die. Well, not immediately, but he didn't mention that. He just knows that when you eat of the fruit, you'll know the difference between good and evil. Wow, that sounds really good. I think I can buy into that doctrine. Guess what they got? Death. Exactly what God said they'd get. We need to grow up. It's time for us all to grow up in Christ. I got to tell you honestly that I've been in churches all my life, served in multiple different churches, been around people who've been going to church all their lives, and I've seen multiple immature Christians and very few mature Christians. We need to not be pushed around by the winds of doctrine. We just need to get with the Lord. We need to talk to Him. We need to walk with Him. We need to hear Him. We need to understand Him. He needs to be our very best friend all day long. When that happens, we'll begin to grow up. And we'll begin to see things like He wants us to see them. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need Your help in that because it's easy for us to think that we know everything we need to know. But Lord, You're teaching Yourself every day. I don't know everything at all. I do know this. I know You love me. I know You paid the ultimate price for me. I know You forgave me for all of my sin. I know that You've made me a new creation. I know that I have been set apart for Your work. I know that You are working every single day, all day long. You never stop working. And You are asking me to give up my life for Yours. And that's not a bad thing. That's the best thing. So, Lord, I want to be crucified with Christ. So that I can live for You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.